With more data center developments coming to Wisconsin, a Milwaukee event focused on the potential benefits of the projects, while protesters called for limits. It's Wednesday, December 3rd, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, fewer deer were killed by hunters during the 9-day gun season this year. And in some communities, a bipartisan group of state lawmakers wants to create a new regulatory system for hemp products. Stay with us.
Support for Wisconsin Public Radio comes from many local arts groups and creators. Money spent locally on handcrafted gifts stays in the community and helps provide local artists and craftspeople with opportunities to achieve their dreams.
Thanks to community support, Wisconsin Public Radio continues to bring trusted news, lifelong learning, and stories that reflect who we are, free and accessible to all. WPR is powered by you. Visit WPR.org/together.
A group of business leaders gathered inside of a Milwaukee museum yesterday to talk about the economic impact of the explosion of data center development in Wisconsin. Outside, protesters chanted their opposition to the industry. The protest was one of five organized in Wisconsin communities this week where data center projects are planned or in the works.
Dairy land!
But supporters say the projects will create jobs and build tax base. Tricia Brown is the executive director of the Wisconsin Data Center Coalition. At yesterday's panel discussion, organized by BizTimes Media, she said businesses from fence makers to security companies will reap the benefits of the projects.
And this is where I think Wisconsin has the opportunity to benefit even more than other states because of the concentration we have of manufacturers that are really ripe for this kind of an opportunity.
Those opposed have raised concerns about the energy and water demand of the campuses. A bipartisan group of state lawmakers wants to create a new regulatory system for hemp products that make users high. As Rich Kramer reports, an industry activist says it would also shield state farmers from a federal hemp ban.
The legislation introduced by Republican State Senator Patrick Teston of Stevens Point would prohibit anyone under 21 from buying intoxicating hemp products. It would also require testing and child-resistant packaging. Jay Selthoffner owns Heritage Hemp Farm in Ripon. He says the bill's not perfect, but it's workable and would protect producers and retailers in Wisconsin from a federal hemp ban slipped into the recent bill to reopen the government.
The bill authors are definitely willing to listen to Wisconsin farmers and the Wisconsin industry, and that's a first step in developing a bill that is not only passable within the legislation, but has the support of the industry.
Currently, Selthoffner says hemp farms are licensed by the USDA, which means they're more exposed to the federal ban. Rich Kramer, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Wisconsin hunters bagged fewer bucks than the last year during the 9-day gun deer season. They killed about 86,000 bucks this year, down more than 2%. Preliminary figures from the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources show that hunters registered around 182,000 deer overall, down slightly from last year. The late season start occurred further from the rut or mating season, limiting deer movement. Webster hunter Dick Schutt says his son and grandson both got bucks in Burnett County, but he says the snow made it harder for some in the woods.
It was just really tough going after we had that snowstorm.
The harvest was down more than 14% up north, and Wisconsin's central forested region was down more than 35%. But the DNR's program specialist says it's difficult to make comparisons. He says that's due to changes in deer management unit boundaries this year. Senator Tammy Baldwin is calling on the Navy to, quote, keep commitments made by bringing additional shipbuilding to Wisconsin. As Joe Schultz reports, this comes after it canceled a multi-billion dollar contract.
The U.S. Navy Secretary announced on social media that the service would cancel a frigate program. Wisconsin's Fincantieri Marinette Marine was awarded a multi-billion dollar contract to build the frigates. The Navy ordered six, but it's now canceling orders for all but two currently under construction. Democratic Senator Tammy Baldwin is calling on the Navy to bring more work to Marinette to make up for the loss.
The Navy needs to build other vessels. So lining those up for manufacture at Marinette Marine would be a very straightforward answer.
Fincantieri Marinette Marine has more than 2,000 employees. It's the community's largest employer. Joe Schultz, Wisconsin Public Radio.
The NBA season is well underway, and the Milwaukee Bucks have already faced quite the ordeal.
Giannis is limping. He's in grabbing. He walks immediately to the Milwaukee bench, and he's going to go right down the runway to the Bucks locker room, and this is bad, bad news.
A groin strain last month led Giannis Antetokounmpo to miss four straight games, all the while the Bucks faced a seven-game losing streak. But now the All-Star is back, and the wins might be back as well. Here to share more on the Bucks is Justin Garcia. He's a sports host for WTMJ Radio, and he's also an analyst for the Milwaukee Bucks Radio Network. Justin, let's start with Giannis. Obviously, he's back on the court after that groin injury, missing several games. Can you take us a little bit through the timeline of that injury and if the team has any concerns about him re-injuring that going forward?
There has to be some added concern, if you will, or at least just elevated, let's monitor this thought from the group, knowing how important he ties everything together. They were the number one offense in the league in the minutes that he was on the floor, and number 30 with him off the floor, which I think we saw too during that seven game losing streak. So I was very surprised to see the timeline of just under 2 weeks that he ended up missing, returning last Friday, because at the time of his exit in Cleveland, you could just see how he was moving. And that was the first time we have ever seen him like that, where he immediately knew, I got to get out of here and I got to get something checked out.
Justin, Bucks getting healthy doesn't just involve Giannis Antetokounmpo. They're also getting Kevin Porter Jr. back. He, of course, had a torn meniscus and he's been out for a little while. What does it mean for the Bucks to get him back, and what kind of role does he play for Milwaukee?
You know, by the numbers, he was one of the more inefficient and worse offensive players in the league at the time that they brought him in here. And then slowly but surely, you saw he just played a little differently than anything else that they had on the roster. And by the end of last season, you saw how it fit with this group. What is undeniable is they play much different with him on the floor, and they play at a more up-tempo pace.
Now that they have those guys coming back from injury, what's the schedule looking like going forward, and where do the Bucks stand going forward in terms of can they keep up the, you know, a little bit of a winning streak here?
You get the Celtics, who are not the Celtics of old. They've been about a 500 team, but that's a home game. And then your road game is against the Brooklyn Nets that we just saw the Bucks run off the court over the weekend. So that's a bit of a scheduling advantage that they get, but also time off because of how the quarterfinals are set up. After they play on Saturday night, they have 4 days off until they will play again. After that, they get 2 days off before they play again. After that, they get 3 days off. After going, you know, every other day and back-to-backs throughout the month of November, rest is going to be important for this group as well, especially as we talked about Giannis and Kevin Porter Jr. coming back from injuries.
There are obviously some areas the Bucks can improve with or without their main guys on the floor. So what is Doc saying about how the season's going so far and where they can improve?
During the seven-game losing streak, he was, you know, pretty open about, we're not worried. I look around the locker room, I don't see guys that are concerned. He didn't say this part, but obviously part of that is, look, we don't have Giannis or Kevin Porter Jr. on the floor for this stretch. There is still a lot to clean up. Obviously, the Bucks have not been a good rebounding team this year. Part of that is they're playing smaller with their starting lineup. They've gotten better, and actually during the losing streak, they were the number one defensive rebounding team in the league. They have to continue to clean up the rebounding. That's going to help improve your defense. And then free throws. You know, we've heard Doc kind of give this message of, look, it's frustrating that the opponent is getting to the line more than us. Maybe we're not getting some calls we think we should. But if we're being honest, we are also committing fouls, and part of that is their size.
where are the Bucks standing right now in terms of the Eastern Conference standings, and do they have a chance to move up here in the month of December?
Unfortunately for the Bucks, their seven-game skid coincided with a couple of teams going on runs in the opposite direction. We saw up until last week, the Pistons, the Raptors, and the Heat had a combined 26-game win streak. It's still very early. We're only a quarter of the way through the season. They're two games back of getting into the play-in tournament mix, which, you know, isn't what fans hope for. But once you get in there, there is not a whole lot of separation between teams 2 through 3 in the Eastern Conference.
Justin, thanks for joining us. Talking Bucks. We appreciate it.
Yeah, anytime.
That was Justin Garcia, sports host for WTMJ Radio. He's also an analyst for the Milwaukee Bucks radio network. Coming up, we'll hear from a Wausau man who tries to follow his childhood dream of becoming a truck driver. Stay with us.
What started with one experimental license more than 100 years ago is today Wisconsin Public Radio. With dozens of stations around the state, an app, and a comprehensive website at WPR.org. Thank you to our donors who made this journey possible.
And finally, it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCullum with a story about taking a chance.
One of life's complicated situations is dealing with the what-ifs. For writer Keith Ulig of Wausau, a what-if lingering in the back of his mind involved his career. So when he was able to pivot professionally, he tells us, he gave it a shot.
Even though he warned me not to do it, I'm going to blame this whole mess of me being a trucking school dropout on my dad. When I was a boy, we lived 6 miles east of Colby, and my dad, Delbert Toby Ulig, was a big rig truck driver. He had a career spanning decades without a major crash. He didn't play catch with me or take me fishing or hunting. He took me out on the road. I rode with him as a small boy in the summers as he hauled gasoline between the Twin Cities and Green Bay. I loved watching his precise, coordinated movements as he ran through the gears, turned corners, or backed the trailer into tight spaces. He drove with a smooth, jaunty elan, and I wanted nothing more than to be just like him. So I never gave much thought of what I was going to do when I grew up. I was going to drive a truck. Dad surprised me when I was 13. "You're not going to be a trucker," he said. He didn't explain why. I just assumed it was because the job was hard. Not knowing what else to do, I went to college, ended up being a newspaper reporter for about 30 years. It was a great job, but the idea of trucking lurked in the background. I never thought I would have a chance to even try it. But when Dad's health declined, I started taking him to his Trucker's Breakfast Club, a Friday morning gathering at a truck stop in Curtis. I listened to the stories of that crew and grew enthralled again at getting behind the wheel of a semi. A couple of years ago, one of those drivers suggested I try Rail Transport, a company based in Marshfield. It pays drivers while training them to get a commercial driver's license. After Dad passed away and my newspaper offered a buyout program, I decided to commit. I reported for work at the rail terminal in Marshfield one October morning, eager to start my journey. Things moved fast right away. On day two, I was behind the wheel of an actual real semi, driving around a practice course. Top speed, 12 miles per hour. Next, I was pulling a trailer. I was thrilled, but also concerned. I hit a pylon while making a round. What if that was a kid? Worry started to well up in my stomach. Not long after that, we left the safe confines of the training course and onto the real streets of Marshfield, with cars and trucks and cyclists and pedestrians. When you're driving a semi-truck, there are so many things you need to be aware of. Your speed, the size of the vehicle, the traffic all around you, where the trailer is behind you. Dad did this all without thinking. But my mind had trouble with that high-level multitasking. Training at rail emphasizes safety and focus, and I learned that one small error could lead to some very bad results. My anxiety and worry snowballed. Sometimes my mind locked up. Other times it felt as if I were looking through a tunnel of fog. On Monday of the second week, I reported for work with a sense of dread and fear. My hands shook from nerves and stress. I knew that driving in my agitated state put myself and others at risk. I thought about Dad's no trucking rule. What if he knew me better than I knew myself? I decided I need to pull out of the program. I owe Rail $7,000 for the training, part of a contract I willingly signed. And I may not have gotten my CDL, but I have a newfound, deep respect for what Dad did at the highest level for so many years. I learned a ton about driving, the trucking industry, and myself. No regrets, not one little bit.
Keith Ulig is a writer and now former truck driver who lives in Wausau. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lola Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook and Instagram. I'm Maureen McCollum.
And of course, we'll end with a quick check of your forecast. Windy and cold today. High temperatures in the 20s with wind gusts up near 25 miles per hour at times. Mix of sunshine and clouds throughout the state today. It'll be really cold overnight with temperatures in the single digits, but wind chills below zero across much of the state, and a few flurries possible tonight in northern Wisconsin as well. And that'll do it for this Wednesday. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producer today was Courtney Everett. As always, have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you again soon.